want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7 for our message today. Our message is entitled, Life Lessons for Your Own Journey. Have you ever tried to do something for somebody, that, like a special project for something or for them, and things just didn't go right? I remember one time I was doing a project for a car, on a car, fixing the brakes for an aunt. Her husband had died a few months before this, and this was back in the 90s, and the back brakes were drum brakes, so those that know about brakes know what I'm talking about. And I broke a couple of the springs and just a couple of different things, and had to go back to the parts store, which was about like a half hour round trip each time. I had to go back about three different times, I think it was. One time they gave me the wrong parts and just different things. And I can remember thinking, Lord, I'm trying to do something nice here. Just simply out of the goodness of my heart. I even volunteered to do it. She didn't ask me. I just said I would do it. I shouldn't be having this much trouble when I'm trying to do something nice. I'm sure we've all had those times when we're trying to do something out of the goodness of our heart, and something just doesn't go right. We're thinking, man, it shouldn't be like this. When we're trying to do something nice, it should just flow right along and have no issues with it. Or maybe we've known somebody in our life, or maybe even ourselves, someone who has done their very best to serve God, their very best in having a heart to serve Him. You know, I remember or heard about Dr. David Jeremiah. Back in 1992 and 1994, he was diagnosed with lymphoma. Then earlier this year, he fell. And some complications that weren't noticed right away from that fall caused him to have a surgery later on. And he had to take a few months off from preaching. Matter of fact, he just went back to preaching right before Thanksgiving or right at Thanksgiving. You know, I can think about that. Man, Dr. David Jeremiah, if anybody has a heart to serve God, it's definitely him. And just the different things. Like Billy Graham, when he came down with Parkinson's. Why would God allow somebody, you know, with those or anybody in those situations to go through hardships like that? We can look at many examples in God's Word and wonder and ask, why would God allow somebody to go through what they went through? For instance, Joseph. We look at all the things that Joseph went through. You know, hated by his brothers. And I'm not saying Joseph was perfect. He didn't help the situation. But he didn't deserve to be thrown down into a cistern or a well, sold into slavery, accused of something he didn't do, put in prison for years. I mean, Joseph, it tells about how Joseph kept the faith, and yet he just seemed to be having trial after trial after trial. Seemed like it. Or we especially think of Job and everything that he went through. Today we're going to be reading about two very special people that we usually hear a lot of, especially this time of year. Two people that were forced to take a journey that was going to be trying on them. We don't get a lot of details about the journey, but we can assume it, that this journey was not going to be the most pleasant journey. And these two people, of course, is Mary and Joseph. They're being forced to take this journey. It was going to be uncomfortable, especially for Mary being pregnant. And there was just going to be a lot of, when we truly look at and understand the situation, it was just going to be a trying time for them. As we read the verses from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, I want you to try to get a mental picture of them traveling. Remember, Mary's 9 months pregnant, and what it would be like for her to travel at this point. So if you would, please read along with me in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Mary and Joseph had their difficulties, especially in this journey, especially when they get to Bethlehem. They couldn't even stay in a nice place. Everything was filled up. It was a journey that would have been uncomfortable for Mary, as I said. You know, a lot of people, they'll talk about, okay, was she on a donkey or wasn't she, or did she ride a donkey or did she not ride a donkey the full time or whatever? But it was just a hardship. They were being forced to go there. It wasn't something that they wanted to do. They were being forced to go there to pay more taxes. We know that that's what the ultimate goal was for Rome, to make the people pay more taxes. We believe that Joseph probably died while Jesus was in his teen years or as a young adult. If especially in his teen year, in Jesus' teen years, that means that Mary basically had to raise a family on her own. Now, she might have had some help from relatives, but she would have had those difficulties. Mary also watched her firstborn son die on a cross, being accused of things and just that horrible death that he went through for us. And as we travel on our life journey, we know that hardships will happen. It may be a financial hardship. It may be a relationship hardship. It may be a health hardship. If we haven't experienced those things by now, we at some point will. Many of us have probably experienced them and know that we have the good possibility that we're going to experience other hardships yet to come. But you know, something that we have to think about and remember is that as believers in Christ, we don't have this free ride type thing. It doesn't mean that when we come to Jesus that we're never going to have hardships again. We have to remember that. We call ourselves Christians. We tell ourselves to be Christ-like. Jesus went through hardships. Jesus went through trying times, not just the cross, but other times. You know, just different things that took place. I think we have to understand and remember that not only as believers will we go through hard times, but as Christians, we will be expected to go through tough times or through hardships. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24 says this. Then he, talking about Jesus, said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." Acts 14, 21 and 22 says, "They preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples, encouraging them to remain true to the faith." We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Coming to Christ does not mean no more trials. I've heard people say, especially, you know, something like, "Well, I've accepted Christ as Jesus, Christ as my Savior, so that means everything's just going to be perfectly fine in my life." Well, no, it doesn't mean that. As I said, if we're going to be true Christ followers, we can expect it. And it's not just the hardships of the everyday life. It's not just financial hardships that people go through. It's not just the hardships that people go through of being sick. But especially hardships for being a Christian. Now, maybe we don't face persecution the way so many other Christians are throughout the world. But there's a lot of people who even in our communities here in the United States, who are ridiculed. Have you ever had somebody make fun of you for being a Christian or for being such devoted to your church or so much devoted to Jesus Christ that people made fun of you? Or receive people, as I said, in other countries being persecuted and put to death for their belief in Jesus? You see, my point is simply this. Not only will we face the normal hardships of life, but if we're truly letting people know that we're Christ followers, that we have a heart for Him, I'm not saying everybody, but there will be those who cause us hardship, who cause us pain, make fun of us or whatever. I've known people who have lost their jobs because of being a crossfire, or left their jobs, I should say, because of the fact that just the problems that they went through. But I just want to remind you that when we have those times, whether it be the normal life hardships or especially hardships as being a Christ follower, there's something I want to encourage you with. And that is, don't let our hardships create confusion. Don't let our hardships create confusion. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight." Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Mary was told by the angel what was going to take place. Think about this. You go back to Matthew there if you wanted to. But do you remember what her response was? Now, she asked the question, how can this happen? How can this be? But it was not a question of doubt. Remember, she'd never been with a man. Okay? We don't have to go into that. We understand that, what that means. And she simply says, well, how can I be pregnant since I've never been with a man? But then she says this later on, "I am the Lord's servant." Now, you guys, remember, she was going to go through some hardships, people making fun of her, people, rumors and everything spreading around about her. It doesn't say so, but I bet you in the back of her mind, she knew that these things were going to happen, especially for that day and age. But she simply says, "I am the Lord's servant." I'm just kind of paraphrasing here. She goes, I'm willing to go through it. Now let's look at Joseph. It says that when Joseph found out, it was probably Mary who told him, we don't know for sure, but more than likely. But when Joseph finds out, what's his first reaction? Well, it says there that he was going to put her away quietly or divorce her. They were betrothed to be married, of course. And some people look at that and they kind of criticize Joseph, but when you truly understand it, Joseph was trying to simply obey God. The law had said what needed to be done in instances like this. And Joseph is thinking, hey, I got to follow the law here. He loved Mary. We see that in the fact that he could have made her a spectacle of the community, but he wanted to just do everything quietly. Maybe go through the divorce and send her away, you know. And we see that he was actually trying to serve God by following the law. Of course, we know that the angel came to Joseph and explained everything to him. And what does Joseph do? He takes Mary and they begin their life together. Now, do you think they had questions? Of course they did. Of course they had questions about maybe why they were being chosen or why they were going to have to go through this thing. I mean, remember, now they had to take this journey to Bethlehem to pay more taxes. But they never lost their faith. They never became confused on who they were. We look around in our world today and we see so many people confused on who they are. Confused in so many different ways. You know, we see the headlines. We know what's taking place in our world today. And it's not just, it's in so many different ways that we see people confused. And it's a lack of faith in Christ. What if Mary and Joseph would have tried to say, I have a right to live my life the way I want to. Or I can do this if I want to because I have that right. We have to remember that there are going to be those times that we may have the right to do something, but that may not be God's desire for us to do it, to live it like that. Mary and Joseph had a lot of different questions, but they never lost their faith. And they never became confused in serving God. We also need to remember God's provision in times of hardship. God's provision in times of hardship. Philippians 4:19 says, God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him, who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us every great and precious promise, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Now, I don't know for sure, but I think it would be safe to say that Mary most likely never expected to give birth to Jesus, God's Son, in a manger. But remember, there were huge crowds in Bethlehem. Everything we were told was taken up. There was no room for them. They were facing the possibility of Mary having to give birth to Jesus out in the street in front of everybody. No privacy. Just out in the street. I mean, the time was getting close for the baby to come. But then God provided. It may not have been a room at the Hilton. It may not have been a queen-size bed. But God provided for them. He gave them the privacy needed. He gave them what they needed for the birth. Peter there, though, talks about not just the things that we will get physically to live our life. But Peter stresses there that God gives us everything we need spiritually to serve him. That through Christ and through the Holy Spirit, we have everything we need to truly serve Jesus the way he calls us to get to know him. We have his word. We have the apostles. We have the teachings in the New Testament. We have people around us to encourage us in our walk. So when we read that there about what Peter tells us, he's not speaking just about the physical things that we have been promised. Jesus said that we will have everything that we need. Now, sometimes we do get our needs and our wants and desires kind of mixed up. But Peter promises us and tells us that everything we need to walk a life with Christ, we have. And we have to remember that we have been provided everything we need, especially in times of spiritual hardship, to remain true to Jesus, so we don't get confused or maybe lose our faith. And we also need to remember this. Every hardship God allows us to go through has a purpose. Every hardship we go through, whatever it may be, God has a purpose. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Now, through the prophet Jeremiah, God warned the people of Israel that if they didn't repent, what was going to take place? Babylon would eventually come and conquer them. And that's exactly what happened. Babylon came because the people wouldn't repent. When Babylon overtook Jerusalem, or it overtook Judah and Jerusalem, Jeremiah spoke to the people while in captivity. telling them of the promise that one day they would be free. And they would get their nation back. Now, getting the nation back actually didn't happen until 1948. But Jeremiah gave them hope and reassurance that God was with them even in captivity. Now, they were in Babylon for several years, or quite a few years, Jeremiah was just giving them hope. Many times we look at that verse in Jeremiah that we just read and relate it to God's calling in a person's life. I'll read it for you. I know the plans that I have for you. And sometimes we relate that to something like, okay, well, God's called you to be a minister or a special singer or something like that. And this passage is not looking at the plans that God may have someone to serve, not just those plans. Verse 4 says, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." Now notice that. I carried into exile. When we understand that this passage in Jeremiah is not just looking at the plans that God may have for someone to serve him. It's talking also about how God sometimes punishes people when they don't walk with him. Hebrews 12 verses 5 and 6 says, "Have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father, addresses his son? It says, 'My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves.'" Now, I'm not saying that Mary and Joseph were being disciplined in the trials they went through. I'm not saying that all the trials we go through are necessarily discipline. We have to remember, though, that God does at times allow us, even cause us to go through trials to discipline us. My point is simply this. When we go through trials, when we go through those hardships, God always has a purpose in them. Maybe it's to bring us closer to him. Maybe it's to help others through the things that we experience, to be able to help people who are going through the similar situations later on in life. When Joseph went through all those things, remember what he told his brothers when they met back up? He told them, "You meant to do what you did to me for evil, but God meant it for good." And if Joseph wouldn't have gone through all those things, we actually wouldn't have the nation of Israel today. So what Joseph did back then affects us today, because we don't get Israel, we don't get Christ. Sometimes God allows us to go through things that we may never understand why, but he always has a purpose for them. So remember, whatever it is you may be going through, a time of trial or a time of blessing, God has a purpose in it. So in closing, I just want to say these words. The Lord who guided Mary and Joseph through that difficult experience of bearing the Christ child, he will also guide us through trials and bring us ultimate glory for his sake. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, again, we do praise you and thank you. We thank you for this opportunity through the video and through people there together to hear your word, to hear your message today. Again, we just praise you and thank you for this time together. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.